Intervju Radija Študent.
Cenjeno poslušalstvo, pozdravljeni v RŠ intervjuju. Z vami sem Jaša, tokrat pa v studiju gostimo dunajske, postrokerske in elektronsko usmerjene eksperimentalce Radijan. Danes se po dobrih 15 letih ta zasedba vrača v Ljubljano, saj bodo ob 21. uri svoje hipnotične in napetosti polne kompozicije odigrali v Channel Zero. Z nami so Martin Brandlmajer, Martin Zivert in Manu Majer. Da pa se bomo lahko vsi razumeli, pa prešaltamo na angleščino. So we switch to English, so we can all understand. Alright, so yeah. Welcome, thank you for coming and thank you for taking your time to do this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
So, how are you doing on this hot day?
So far it's okay, we survive. It's remarkably cool here in the studio.
It's comfortable. You know, we have to stay comfortable. It's to talk, you know. So, yeah, let's get to it, I guess. First of all, you're here now, of course, to play in Channel Zero, which is gonna be a concert in coordination with the cycles Level Up and Freeforma. But this is not like a part. This is not something new for you. No, you've been on and off as a band for 30 years almost now at this point. So a really rich history. And as we can read online, as some of perhaps our older listeners also know, you were key actors in Vienna's 90s underground and late 90s to early 2000s, and your ambitious sound, which combines grooves with loops, electronic samples and noise, really set you give you a unique signature. And as many in our audience are already acquainted with your work, but before we delve into the details, if you would have to briefly introduce your band to those who have never heard of you, what would you say?
So I would say we are a trio. We have drums, we have bass, we have guitar, and there is a lot of electronics involved, and we like to sample our own instruments a lot and integrate it into the sound. And in the end, we work on pieces that are very much constructed into the detail, and we play these pieces. So it's not so much about improvisation. It's more like, in this way, we work like a rock band, maybe. Mm.
So composition oriented.
Yeah, composition oriented. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyone else? Anything to add? How would you introduce yourself? Perhaps Manu as a new member.
No, I think it's quite a sophisticated sound design, and each track has I don't know, is playing with expectations and can suddenly burst into a noise, but overall there's always like a long arc over each track, so with a great sense of arrangement and dramaturgy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I really appreciate, I think, about the sound of Radian is that there's not this kind of and I think also a reviewer from 15 years ago on our radio station pointed this exact thing out, and as today I was researching and, you know, reading old interviews, I found out that he was thinking similarly as me, that there's not this typical rock-oriented dynamic of, you know, build up and then release and then build up and release, but there's this constant tension in the songs that keeps you always on the edge of your seat. And I think this is something like really unique in this some kind of, if you call it like post-rock-ish environment, where, you know, usually there's a sense that you're building up to something, but here at Radian there's always like this tension, like even from the very start I feel it, you know. Mm. This is part that I really like.
Yeah, sometimes we're also busy with building down and not building up.
And playing breaks. Yeah. Breaks are very, very important, the moments of silence.
Awesome. Because silence fills, right?
Yeah.
Because as the Slit said, silence is a rhythm too.
True, true. If we move on a little bit to perhaps just the historical background of your band, formed in 1996, and this was, as you write also on your Bandcamp page, a scene of it fresh electronic inspired sounds, the Vienna underground in the mid 90s. But what I'm wondering is, what before perhaps you even got pulled into this scene, what were you listening to? What were your teenage favorites when it comes to music? What were you listening to when you were 16, 17, your you know?
So it was very wide range of music for me personally. I was listening to from like contemporary classical music like Feldman and Xenakis and up to was a huge Sonic Youth fan, or bands like Corrine or Slint.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but also I was listening a lot to free jazz records, so it was very wide range of things I was into.
Anyone else?
Yeah, good. As a teenager, I probably did not listen to Xenakis yet, but I listened also to a lot of song, singer-songwriter style music, anything from Neil Young to Sparkle Horse, and I listened to a lot of also song-oriented punk music like Husker Du, and also always listened to a lot of R&B, and big mixture. I always had also a soft spot for the more weird psych blues things like Gun Club. That was a favorite of mine when I was like 15. I was crazy for Jeffrey Lee Pierce and Cramps and stuff like that. So a wide range of musics. And I also in parallel or slightly later listened to a lot of jazz, and not just free jazz back then, but a lot of downtown New York stuff and variety of things.
And the younger side.
Well, I guess I have to admit that I come from a quite bourgeois classical background. My parents were both, or are both, classical musicians. So, but nevertheless, I mean, or music, I don't know, there was always the radio with classical music, and somehow I think I found my own approach to through jazz and improvisation. Yeah, the first time when I was 14 or 15, I realized there's music that which I can really relate to, and there's an emotional connection with creating own ideas and working on that. Yeah, but through all my teens, I was working. I don't know. It was quite an effort to find my own approach and to also forget about a lot of things I learned. And, yeah.
So you change as you go. Kind of.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I still am.
Always growing. In light of this, like already a wide array of influences from contemporary classical to noise rock to pop songs to again classical, and I think that this is like kind of also this combinatory aspect of like putting various influences and styles together is also something that you can hear in Radiant's songs from the very beginning, as your music like fuses various influences from and references from like noise, loops, samples, but still with this distinct like rhythm and groove focused drum oriented sound also. And what do you think is what has inspired this dimension of your sound? What has made Radiant when you were coming together?
So I remember at the beginning it was really like we did kind of like painters, like making studies of, we just worked out some stuff that just worked with white noise. Like, and we were searching for sounds that can, white noise that can be produced on the drums or on the synth, and to try to combine it and really try to get rid of the borders between the instruments. This is how we started somehow. Mm. We were working with tonal aspects and trying to find like bowing on the cymbals and combine it with sine wave things on the synth and then working around with the limitations also of the sampler, that at this time it was like a 16 bit, and you could like sample 1 minute mono. Mm. And to work with these limitations, it was actually, I loved it, and somehow I miss it still, because to work with these limitations, it can really also like focus into these small details,
yeah,
which is until now very, very important for us to have a focus into the details of sound.
And now today you open a digital audio workstation and you're hit in the face with a million options, and you just kind of don't know where to put yourself, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, this is interesting, because I also heard like a similar thing expressed by a lot of different artists from the alternative. And I think one of my favorite hip hop artists, Lil Ugly Mane, once said in an interview that if you can't produce a hit song for yourself with only a broken Casio piano and a stick, then you can't produce a hit song for yourself, you know. and this is, I think, it's like an endeavor in creativity, I guess. Yeah. Mm. So let's talk a little bit about the beginning. So I'm interested in this, like how the 90s, like you described a little bit. We talked a little bit about the sound that got you together, and how you were like from the very start focused on a certain picture, how you're going to play as Radiant. But and then I also read like this, that you had a self-titled EP first, and then a full-length album released by your acquaintance Peter Rehberg, DJ Pita, whom you supported on your very first gig, it says on online. And I was just wondering, can you tell us a little bit perhaps about the vibe of the scene at that time? What kind of music was big in alternative venues at the time, and how did you as a band fit in? Mm.
Yes, so there was a lot going on at this time. There was this club called Ritz. It's still there in Vienna, and it was quite a central place at this time. A lot of artists were playing there, and new groups were formed around this. Yes, and there were a lot of. It was really adventurous time because all these sounds that suddenly came up that were totally new, and it was very exciting. And what we tried was to somehow integrate this inspiration into a band context. Mm. Also combining in combination with acoustic instruments.
Mm. And what do you think, did anything change since then? Since today, you know? If you're like your role, your approach to music, your perhaps even role in the scene, or how the scene itself looks like now, underground alternative in Vienna.
Naja, the scene has for sure changed, and the whole perception of the scene has changed. And back then it was new, and that's always the best. Something is new, it's always the freshest and the most exciting. And this crossover in the mid-late 90s, I wasn't part of Radiant back then, but we played in Trappist already in the late 90s and stuff, and played with others around. It was, there was so many former really very far apart scenes coming together, not just the advanced experimental techno scene that was coming from the Mego side of things, and Laton, another label that did groundbreaking work back then, but there was also in the very much happening with the Klangforum and the new music scene, and suddenly we with people like via people like Werner Dafeldecker and the Durian label, who had a strong connection to Chicago. All these things were coming together, so there was like Christian Fennes playing suddenly with Kevin Drum and these sort of people in festivals where there were mega acts who would maybe have played at some crazy rave in the Gasometer the night before. So it was very refreshing, the very diverse even happenings. There was a thing called Picnic with Hermann, which was sort of like a festival happening once a month, or how often did it happen? Anyway, where you had radical things, noise music, advanced club music, but then suddenly there was a very abstract improvised music coming in, and I also met and played with people like Pure, Peter Votava, who also had a lot of records on Mego, who came, was really techno derived, who never played with anybody with real instruments before, basically, and it was very funky times. It all felt fresh because it was fresh, and with with some people like or labels like Mego, like the whole MDOS distribution, like Durian, like Charisma, Christoph Kurzmann, also important in that time. He brought in a lot of jazz connections, which were not there from the Mego side of things at all. All this was a very fertile ground, and it was at least. There was a lot of international attention also, because there were like every other week there were some reports in the Wire or here or there. And as I said, a lot of communication and exchange, especially with Chicago artists. There was also very early on Jim O'Rourke playing with Peter and Christian Fennes and stuff like that. So it was, these were important labels, and also there are no labels anymore in Vienna of that importance. I don't know if there are any at all here, where you have so much international attention for something quite as radical and weird as what Mego was doing in the mid or late 90s. So it was special times.
Definitely, so is this also, this is also the connection probably that you've mentioned, so this is the reason why rec extern and juxtaposition were at least partly recorded in Chicago's Soma Studios, right? So so this was probably the reason, this connection that you've mentioned, is that why that you've come to the other side of the world practically to record it. This is very strong, like this is something almost unimaginable today, and for like an alternative to have this strong of a connection to draw an artist overseas just for a recording session on this is really fascinating. So yeah, perhaps we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I will take a little bit of freedom to extend this because we started a little bit later. I was just wondering, let's move to your most recent release, Distorted Rooms, which was released at Thrill Jockey in 2023. And at that point, the point of the release, already more than 25 years have passed since you've started out as a band. And what kind of lessons, what kind of stories informed and impacted the way that you created this particular album, this newest release?
So it was a special time, I remember, because at least part of the time was a pandemic time. So we also sent a lot of files back and forth. For sure, this had an influence on this record. So we didn't meet as much as we met before during the production of a record.
So it was more remote, more fragmented.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, in general, the process of making a Radian record is a rather extended, a long term, long years one, and in this even more also, because at some point we also said to ourselves, we actually don't need to rush to finish anything right now. We don't want to release a new album anyway. You cannot tour. And so it took longer. I think as opposed to On Dark Silent Off, which was maybe a little more noise related and also more obvious guitars. For some reason, the starting point of some of the tunes on Distorted Rooms are more groove and loop oriented, and a lot of also basic parts of songs that are actually even synth generated. It's also, I switched after this record for the live thing to also playing sampler on stage with it, which I didn't do before. Mm. Yeah, because there's some things that might have been created with a guitar at some point, but were also impossible to replicate live. So there's a few spots where I just play and manipulate samples. And I think this was new. It has more electronic and a little, maybe a little less acoustic feel than a record before, at least from the guitar side of things.
Yeah, I must say that this live performance, even this like this manipulation, it also translates really well in the live performance, because I must say that when I listened to your concert at Jazz Cirkno, it was so impressive. It was so well oiled, so well practiced, like a human organic machine. And what is the secret for these great live performances? How do you approach live sound? How do you practice for concerts as a group?
Yeah, it's very special. With most groups, you compose a song, and when you finish the song, you record it. With us, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. We finish a track, which might take years, and then we have to sit down and think, how the hell can we play this live? Yeah, and we might have to change a lot of things. We are then shuffling stuff around, certain sampled instruments that are then put either in loopers or in the sampler or on the computer. We have at least three levels of various levels of playback that also can be manipulated again. Yeah, but it's really then more like thinking how to realize it live. So that's after we have a new program or a new record, always a challenge to bring it to the stage, and takes another few weeks.
So you practically have to learn your compositions.
Yeah, you have to learn how to play it.
Like a true classical.
And also sometimes there's also decisions to be made. Yeah, there's some things that could in theory maybe played live, but with an effort, also a technical effort, that's just too much. Mm. We anyway carry around enough stuff already. Or with certain stuff that might work, you might get it exactly the way, but you also might not. And that's for many bands great and I cherish it, but for Radian it's not the way to go. You want a certain sound to be sort of the sound.
And while we're at this idea of the sound, we have here a new member, Manu Meyer, replacing a longtime bassist, John Norman, and now Manu Meyer represents a little bit of a younger generation of the Vienna alternative, playing in bands such as 5KHD. How did this change take place? Do you like the band, Manu? Did you listen to Radian in your youth? How did it come to be?
I think I first listened to Radian when I was about 19, 20. Yeah. That's when I first hearing also like the fairy tales from the late 90s when I was 10 years old. When I was 19, I heard all those stories about how the Ritz came about and the Phonotactic Festival, I think it was, and who founded the Ritz and who were the players back there. And it fascinated me, of course. It still does. And I was lucky enough that last year, I think, in 24, there was a concert in Saalfelden, and it was the first time I was stepping in, and I think it was a very nice process of keeping things, well, not deciding like too fast and take time to like find out how we could approach, how we could move on, and then at some point I think there was like a common understanding of it makes sense. And yeah, soon after we already started working on new material, which is like the part I'm actually most interested in, and like finding my own way to add things, or maybe to yeah, and I really enjoy spending time in the studio thinking about composing, just thinking about ideas, talking about ideas, taking time, and it's a really nice process. So
something is cooking.
Oh, yes.
Okay, nice. We're excited for this release, most definitely, and hopefully, hopefully I get to review it, but we will shortly review it. But yeah, today you are also playing a concert, of course, as we mentioned before, in Channel Zero, organized by the Serials Level Up and Free Forma. What can we expect, and what do you expect?
So we know the Metelkova from various occasions. And it's always great to be there, so it will be for sure a lovely evening. And we know quite well what we will do tonight, but yes, we are very excited how this comes up, everything in the audience, and we are looking very, very forward.
We can promise it will be the hottest Radiant gig this year.
That is for sure. Like, what, 35 degrees today? What I don't even know. Yeah. Hottest gig. Hottest Radiant gig. Must not miss. Everyone who's listening right now, come to Channel Zero tonight. So yeah, right now I think we're kind of running out of time. I wish I could stretch this to an hour. I easily could. I want to, but I can't. That's all. That's about all that we have prepared for today. With us today were Radian, Austrian experimental post-rockers who blend electronic elements with an incredibly tight live performance. And guys, thank you very much for your time and for taking the time to stop at our radio and for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank very
you.
Much.
Thank you.
Great job.
radio lahko jamete nocoj v 21. uri v Channel Zero, sicer pa jih lahko jamete tudi jutri v kraju Lido di Savio v Italiji. Cenjeno poslušalstvo, tole so bili Radian. To je to. Tehniciro je Žan, z vami sem bil Jaša in se slišmo prihodnič.
Intervju Radija Študent.